Dennis, who had been rather withdrawn and snappish with everyone since his experience and its mixed reception, had wandered down the forest trail in the direction of the Witoto village 13 kilometers away. He had taken his notebook. In the middle of the afternoon, he returned. He was very excited, and he had completed writing out the preliminary notes for what became the experiment at La Chorrera. It was the only written record of his ideas that was actually made at the time, and as such is the only piece of written primary evidence that we have about how we both viewed what we were doing as we were doing it. These notes do not, of course, represent the final form of our theorizing about these matters. Refinement of these ideas has been constant since their creation. These notes are not to be taken at face value at all. The scientific basis of our work is elaborately described in The Invisible Landscape. That work represents our considered composite opinion as of 1975. The present work is the story of the growth of those ideas through time and shows the fallacies and myths spun into the fabric of the first conception of these ideas. But how complete the vision was and how finely worked its detail, the working understanding that is represented in these notes of my brother's, are the operational basis of the effect that we did trigger on the 5th of March. His notes were our working myth, and they did have great effectiveness. They are not, however, for the reader faint of heart. They are like the words of a magical incantation. Magicians will wish to linger over them. The rest of us might wish to skim over them and hurry on with what is, even without the theory, a ripping good story.
2 March. Further experiments with the audio warp phenomenon yesterday raised some interesting new questions and enhance our ongoing understanding. I chose the term audio warp because my experience thus far, coupled with what I have been told, leads me to believe that this all has to do with vocally generating a specific kind of energy field which can rupture three-dimensional space. I do not understand if the field is electromagnetic, but it seems to bend space in such a way as to turn it upon itself through a higher dimension. Here is how it is done. One must take enough psilocybin to allow the sound to be audible. This sound we understand to be the ESR of the resonating psilocybin alkaloids within the mushroom. The presence of rapidly metabolizing high-energy tryptamines within the yahe acts as antenna that sensitizes the neural matrix to the spin resonance energy of the stropharia psilocybin. It is this principle that allows the signal to be made audible. It must then be amplified via the tryptamine admixture antenna to what is felt to be its fullest amplitude. Then, via vocal sound, this energy is placed into the harmine complex within the body and within the mushroom, which has been, in some small part, cooled to absolute zero, the temperature at which molecular vibration ceases through absorption of the psilocybin ESR pulses. Once this ESR wave has been audially detected, it will be possible to amplify it within the neural circuits by channeling it through the harmine complex. That is, by imitating the psilocybin ESR with the voice, causing the amplified sound to strike a harmonic tone with the harmine metabolizing in the brain, thereby exciting the harmine ESR. Since harmine complexes are merely further down the same biosynthetic pathway that converts tryptophan into psilocybin, it is possible to consider the ESR tone of psilocybin as a harmonic overtone of harmine and vice versa. Using harmonic overtones, it is possible to sound a tone which will cancel one or more of its octaves reflected in harmonic scales above and below it. This is easily demonstrated on a cello. Suppose a tone, say the open string A, is sounded. The sound is a wave vibration of air molecules caused by the string, which acts as a resonator. The tone is heard most loudly in the key in which it was sounded, but it also sounds every other key of A in the octaves above and below it. It is possible to cancel out the original tones by touching the string very lightly at certain harmonic points. When this is done, the overtones in the higher and lower registers become audible. If one understands the theory of harmonic resonators well enough, one can determine which overtones will be resonated if certain points on the string are touched. When this understanding is applied to molecular ESR resonation, it remains essentially the same in principle. When the ESR tone of the psilocybin is heard via tryptamine antenna, it will strike a harmonic tone in the harmine complexes being metabolized within the system, causing its ESR to begin to resonate at a higher level. According to the principles of tonal physics, this will automatically cancel out the original tone, that is, the psilocybin ESR, and cause the molecule to cease to vibrate. However, the ESR tone that sustains the molecular coherency is carried for a microsecond on the overtonal ESR of the harmine complex. This leaves the momentarily electrically canceled and superconductive psilocybin suspended in a low-energy electromagnetic field generated by the harmine ESR. In so doing, it will regain its original, but now superconductively amplified ESR signal, which will permanently lock it into a superconductive state. As this phenomenon proceeds, it will automatically trigger the inverse of the initial process. The psilocybin, superconductively charged by mind, will harmonically cancel the ESR resonance of the harmine within the brain. The energy of the harmine psilocybin complex ESR will be absorbed instantly into the matrix of the mushroom. This will cause these molecules, metabolizing within the body and bonded to neural DNA, to instantly drop to absolute zero. Clearly, this harmine psilocybin DNA complex must immediately separate itself from the cellular matrix. There is great danger at this moment, but pathways exist to deal with it. We will find that these molecules condense out of our bodies, accompanied by a sound. This sound will be the harmonic ESR tone of this complex, amplified superconductively and broadcasted frozen into the superconductive matrix of the mushroom. The superconductively charged psilocybin acts as an antenna which picks up the amplified ESR signals of the complex and condenses vibrational signals into a superconductive matrix. The opus can now be briefly summarized. The mushroom must be taken and heard. The yahe must be taken and charged with the overtonal ESR of the psilocybin via voice-imparted amplified sound. The ESR resonance of the psilocybin in the mushrooms will be canceled and it will drop into a superconducting state. A small portion of the physical matter of the mushroom will be obliterated. The superconductively charged psilocybin will pick up the ESR harmonic of the yahe complex. This energy will be instantly and completely absorbed by the higher dimensional tryptamine template. It will be transferred to the mushroom as vocal sound and condensed onto the psilocybin as a bonded complex of superconductive harmine psilocybin DNA. The result will be a molecular aggregate of hyperdimensional superconducting matter that receives and sends messages transmitted by thought, that stores and retrieves information in a holographic fashion in neural DNA, and that depends on superconductive harmine as a transducer energy source and superconductive RNA as a temporal matrix. This aggregate will be a living and functioning part of the brain of the molecular singer who creates it. It will be composed of higher dimensional matter, that is, matter that has been turned through the higher dimension via the process of canceling its electrical charge with a harmonic vibration, transmitting that vibration across space from superconductive transmitter to superconductive receiver, and then recondensing that vibration onto a superconductive template, the charged psilocybin in the mushroom, until the harmine psilocybin DNA complex condenses into a superconducting molecule, a molecule that is hyperdimensional matter, would by this theory remain so as long as it remains in a superconducting configuration, probably forever, since it is powered by its own ESR energy. It will then be responsive to commands via endogenous tryptamine ESR, thoughts. It will be keyed into our collective DNAs, and it will contain harmine as a superconductive transceiver and power source.
It was his idea, and it seemed to me a magnificent one, that the body is like an undiscovered musical and scientific instrument whose potential lies all around and within us, but of which we are unaware. He said that the mind, through an act of will, could use the singing voice to interact with the brain as though it were a color organ and a holographic library all wrapped into one. Dennis pointed the way toward a kind of Orphic science where the great advances would be made using only the interaction of the quaternity of singing voice, mind, brain, and imagination. More, however, than a chant-induced collective synesthesia was promised, he was saying that the laws of acoustics and low-amperage bioelectrical phenomena could be manipulated to give the experimenter a doorway into exploring states of matter and realms of physics of high energy and low temperature that are currently, at least, supposed to be the exclusive province of researchers totally dependent on extremely technically sophisticated and powerful instruments. It became possible for a moment to dream that the powers of shamanism derived from a millennium-old knowledge of microphysics and bioelectronics that was actually far in advance of our own. Perhaps the shamanic traditions of this planet are the keepers of a path of understanding that uses the human body, brain, mind as its cutting edge, and which leaves the present state of the art which our own scientific method has achieved a very poor second. This is really an old idea, the siren song of Pythagoras, that the mind is more powerful than any imaginable particle accelerator, more sensitive than the most powerful radio or optical telescope, more powerful in its grasp of information than any computer, that the human body, its organs, its voice, its power of locomotion, and its imagination is a more than sufficient means to the exploration of any place, time, or energy level in the universe. It was this idea that he would set out to prove, to realize in the actual hardware of this dimension, a roving lenticular vehicle which he was convinced could be generated out of his own body DNA and things present at hand in the Amazonian environment, the mushroom and the ayahuasca.